And welcome to A Half Hour to Health. I'm your host, Mark Scott, where we talk about contemporary issues in health. This half hour, we have Dr. Eric Lenzel of Essential Family Chiropractic in Columbia. Dr. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show today.
You're quite welcome. First, I'd like to ask you, Eric, how would you define health?
Well, I'd like to start out by defining health I'd like to start out going to the dictionary, Mark, because many people have many different ideas of what health is. Maybe I'm not sick, maybe I'm feeling great. So let's start with what the dictionary specifically says.
Mm-hmm. Which dictionary are you reading from?
I actually happen to bring Tabor's Medical Dictionary with me. It's kind of a standard that they use.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, health, a condition in which all functions of the body and mind are normally active. The World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, or social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Hmm. That's what I really wanted you to get. Health is not just the absence of disease or infirmity. It has a lot more to do with that, because most people's concept of health is, I go to the medical doctor,
right?
I go in, I get some sort of prescription.
Healthcare.
Mm-hmm. I get some sort of prescription, and then after I've done with the prescription, I must be healthy.
Mm.
But as you and I both know, that we're not old, but there's a big difference between there was a time in our lives in our early 20s when we were really physically active and extremely healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that span that you notice between the difference between not being sick and being healthy is a large span.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, what can I do then to achieve this definition of health?
Well,
I to realize it practically in our lives, what can we do?
Well, you know, I look at it, and some of the things that I've really identified, there are five important aspects to having good health. Some of them are, you know, fairly obvious. You know, exercising, it's important, obviously, to exercise. That has a significant positive impact on your health. Diet and nutrition. Obviously, we know that when we're taking in the proper foods and eating well and not consisting on a pizza and McDonald's diet, we're actually physically feeling a little bit better. Also, another key aspect is, you know, getting the proper sleep that you need, because that's going to obviously affect how your body reacts. I mean, you know, like, you know, when you've been up all night or something like that, you know how that affects your next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously would have a negative effect. But by getting proper sleep, it has a positive effect.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that some people don't seem to think of, this is the fourth one, is the positive mental attitude. I call that your PMA, but we understand in terms of our mental state whether our stress level is high and things like that.
I mean, but is that as easy as singing, you know, zippity doo dah? I mean, how do you get a positive mental attitude?
Well, a positive mental attitude can come from a lot of things. For me, it comes from my relationship with God and focusing on where my relationship should be. And I draw a lot of strength from that, and that helps me through a lot of difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
Other people use different things, but for me, that's where my core is at.
Right. And there is there a fifth one? There, you said five, right?
Yeah, I said
what
five.
Are we up to? Are we up to four now?
We just did four.
Okay.
This is the fifth one. The fifth one is a sound nervous system.
Ah, okay.
And that's why you would want to come see me as a chiropractor, because that's what we address.
Right.
See, as chiropractors, we address the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I brought with me a quote from Gray's Anatomy. Now, Gray's Anatomy is kind of like it's like the Bible of the anatomy books. I mean, that's like the book that everybody's always going to grab.
Right.
And what, according to Gray's Anatomy, it says, the nervous system controls and coordinates every organ, tissue, and cell in your body.
Every? Hold on. Say that again. The nervous system controls and
coordinates every organ, tissue, and cell in the body.
All the way down to the cellular level.
Mm-hmm. It will tell them what to do. I mean, when your muscles move, there's a signal coming from your nervous system telling them what to do. When your body releases different hormones, there's a signal coming to that organ or that gland telling it specifically you should be releasing this amount, and the signals are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the nervous system works. Now, I wanted you to think about something since we're talking about health, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
What do you typically do when you have a stomach ache?
I take either like Rolaids or
So that's how you spell relief.
Well, Tums, you know, or is that bad?
No, it's not bad. Okay. And what do you do when you when you have a headache?
I go for the ibuprofen because I don't do pain. I try not to do pain.
Okay. One of the things I like to think about in chiropractic is we try to focus on and look what the underlying cause is. Now, mm-hmm. do you think you got your stomach ache or your headache because your body didn't produce enough of its own natural Rolaids or its own natural Tylenol?
Oh, so I have Rolaids in me.
Oh, well, that's what people think because they're trying to focus on getting rid of the symptoms, not what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when you look at these five aspects of health, you can look at one of those and say, why am I having this condition, or why do I feel sick, or why have I gotten this cold?
So are you saying then that even a stomach ache or a cold or a headache goes back to the central nervous system?
It can, because all of the other five factors, the four other factors of health that mm-hmm. I was talking about, mm-hmm. all affect the nervous system,
right.
and those things subsequently down the line will affect your immune system.
Mm-hmm. Well, then how can you help me? I mean, okay, I have let's just say I can trace headaches or a stomach ache or whatever back to my central nervous system. How does a chiropractor handle that?
Well, let me just give you a little foundation, basically. Like I said before, we affect the nervous system through the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And the spine has three normal curves in it. It's got a normal curve in the neck, one in the mid-back or your thoracic area, and one in your low back.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose some of the proper curvatures in those areas, you can affect the nervous system because that's how the nerves exit out of that area.
Proper curvature. So you're saying that those curves are supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand. When you look at someone straight on,
mm-hmm.
they should be fairly straight in terms of if they have a curve when you're looking at them straight on in their back,
mm-hmm.
that's called a scoliosis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an abnormal curve.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at somebody from the side, their spine actually isn't straight. Like I said, there are three curves. There's a curve in the neck,
mm-hmm.
an opposite curve in the mid-back, and then an opposite curve in the low back, which creates kind of like a bit of a spring.
Mm-hmm.
And gravity, that's why your head sits over your shoulders, which sits over your hips, and travels all the way down to the side of your knee, and down to your ankle.
Okay.
Now, specifically out of the spine itself, what you have these nerve roots. They're these, that's how the signals get out. You know, you know about the brain
mm-hmm.
and the spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do those signals get to those different places in the body? They go out through the spine,
mm-hmm.
through these things called nerve roots.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing is, you know, just giving you a little background, that the skull is well protected. It's well encased,
mm-hmm.
and it's fairly well protected as long as you're not whacking your head or getting some sort of serious injury.
Right.
Now, the spine itself is a little more susceptible to having malpositions happen to it because of the fact that the spine is made up of different joints all the way down. That's how you're able to bend forward and backwards into the sides and twist.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the spine's moving. What you can get are misalignments of these vertebrae. And what it can do, it can put pressure on those nerve roots coming out. And
mm-hmm.
that can affect the signal coming out. And that's where, when I talked about that sound nervous system, the nervous system can be compromised to a certain extent through these misaligned vertebrae.
What's that called when you have a misaligned vertebra?
Well, as you know, anybody in the healthcare field has very technical terms for these things.
Mm-hmm.
We call them the misaligned vertebra that puts pressure on a nerve is called a subluxation.
A subway station.
Rhymes with subway stations. It sounds like that. That's how I kind of have people remember them. But, mm-hmm. you know, you've heard of a dislocation before, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means it's totally gone out of its joint.
Okay.
Sub means less than. So you kind of understand that a subluxation is the misaligned vertebra.
I see.
That's putting that pressure on the nerve.
And what does it do? What does a subluxation do?
Well, subluxations can cause many of the different types of problems that people may come into my office for.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to, before we get into the specifics of the symptoms and the different types of things that I typically see people for in my office, I wanted to just chat a little bit about some of the causes of the subluxations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what types of things do you think might cause a subluxation? I mean, what?
Well, so we're talking about misalignment, right?
Sure. What types of things do you, what types of activities or something do you think that could affect that?
Like the way I'm sitting now?
Yeah.
I saw you judging me. You didn't say it, but you were thinking it.
No, I was actually evaluating, not judging, Mark.
But is that possible, though? I mean, if I sit a certain way, or I'm at a computer, you know, 8 hours a day or whatever, does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, it actually has a significant effect on it. I see lots of people come into my office who are suffering from lower neck pain, and those types of things can travel down the arms. I see people for carpal tunnel syndrome, and what actually is going on many times is the way they sit. Remember I talked about those normal curves in the neck?
Yeah.
They lean forward and go opposite of that. So what they do is they put a lot of stress on the nerves coming out of there. So it kind of compromises and causes some nervous system interference. Mm-hmm. The signal going back and forth isn't functioning at 100%.
How about the way I sleep? I mean, I spend a lot of time in a certain position when I'm sleeping. Right?
Sleeping can cause effects. Like you've seen those TV commercials for like the contour pillow and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know what? Those things actually do work. Because if you think about this, if you sleep on your back, right? Mm-hmm. And you sleep with this huge pillow and your chin is basically in your chest all night. Do you think that's going to have some sort of compromise on that neck area?
Right.
Or, you know, you sleep on your side and you have a big pillow and your head is sticking to your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Those types of things have an effect on the nerves coming out, especially when you're sitting in things for long periods of time. Now, what you would call those types of things, like sitting in a chair for a long period of time or abnormal sleeping postures, those are called microtraumas. Because it's a slow, repetitive action over and over again that will cause those subluxations.
Right.
You can also have major things. I mean, you've heard of people who've, you know, go to pick up some big box and they throw their back out.
Right.
Those are called macro. Macro means large. There are large traumas. Somebody in a car accident or those different types of things are causes. Mm-hmm. There are actually a couple other causes that most people don't typically think of. Remember how I talked about the positive mental attitude? When we have stress in our lives, many times if you have a weakness in your spine because of these subluxations, they may not be specifically causing you any problems at the moment, but when you add stress to the body, when you add that stressful situation, many times people all of a sudden start suffering with different types of things going on. They may start having headaches, they may start having the neck pain, they may start having back pain or different symptoms. Those things come out, and the reason why you understand that it may be a spinal problem is because it goes to the weak link in the chain.
So you're saying that even like emotional stress?
Severe emotional stress or very stressful, people who have very stressful job. I mean, I'll just give you a quick example. I have a female patient, and she's an attorney, and she's a divorce attorney, actually. So it's obviously a fairly stressful job that she has. And one of the comments she had made to me was the fact that although the stress of my job hasn't decreased at all, I'm not manifesting the same symptoms that I used to have since I've been coming to see you.
Right.
So
but what you've been doing then is adjusting her subluxations, right?
Correct. I'm removing them and remove the nervous system interference, and therefore her body can function better.
Wait a minute. Nervous system interference. So a subluxation then, let me get this straight. Decreases nerve flow?
That's correct. I'll give you a quick analogy, and it's a very simple one, and it's a little more complex than this. But think of if you see a hose running, and there's water coming out of it. If I step on that hose, and there's a lot of pressure in it, there's still going to be water coming out, but it's going to be decreased. So what we do as chiropractors, we remove that nervous system interference, and the analogy, we take the foot off the hose. So we take that pressure off, and therefore the body can function better. And therefore the body actually can heal itself. And that's what chiropractic is really founded on. It's founded upon the aspect that true healing comes from within. And chiropractors help facilitate that by removing the nervous system interference and allowing the body to heal itself.
I see. Well, all right. Now, can you, you know, by adjusting, are you saying that you would you use the term cure? Would you be able to cure me?
Well, we don't specifically cure you. Like I said, the body really heals itself. We facilitate that by adjusting those subluxations.
So you're philosophically, you're saying the body heals itself.
Correct.
You're just kind of straightening things out so that the nerve flow can be maximized, right?
That's correct. And that's where the true healing comes from. I mean, if you're suffering from whatever ailments you may have, you know, we adjust the spine to remove that interference.
Mm-hmm.
And
can you define then what a chiropractor is?
What a chiropractors do, chiropractors basically are doctors who focus on the nervous system. We look for that nervous system interference through these subluxations.
Mm-hmm.
And what we specifically do, once we determine that you have that subluxation, we'll use a gentle technique called an adjustment to put the bone back in its proper position.
Okay. And that removes then this subway station, the subluxation.
That's correct.
Okay, well, how do you do that? Let's get to the adjustments thing, okay? Because I think that's the thing that everybody is, you know, either has anxiety about, you know, somebody tweaking on your neck kind of thing. And you hear things like, well, I got my back cracked, that kind of thing. What's an adjustment?
Well, I had a little fear going to a chiropractor the first time because, you know, you hear that they crack your back or crack your neck and you're thinking, well, gee, my neck hurts or my back hurts. So I'm going to go to someone who's going to crack it.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically certain adjusting techniques, you may hear what's called a release when somebody adjusts the spine.
Right.
Not all techniques, but some of them. And I wanted to explain what that is. Because
might I add, you feel a release too. It feels incredibly good.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What's that sound?
What actually that sound is when you take any joint to its end range, what happens is you get a CO2 bubble that collapses. And that's where that sound comes from. Now, like you've heard of people when they crack their knuckles or something like that, or they twist their neck to the side and they may hear a pop.
Mm-hmm.
All that is, it's a CO2 bubble that collapses. Now, you don't need to have what we call, technically we call it a release. You don't need to have a release in order to have a good adjustment.
So if I go and, you know, no pop comes out or whatever, that's not a bad adjustment then?
No, it's not.
Okay, because so that's not the litmus test.
Not at all. it's just an indicator of something that may show that you were adjusted.
Let me just cut to the quick. How long does it take to go to school to become a chiropractor? Do you have to get a doctorate?
Yeah, actually, I went to school and I got have an undergrad degree, and then went on to 4.25 years of grad school to get my doctorate. So,
Where did you go to grad school?
I actually went to Palmer College of Chiropractic West out in San Jose, California. See, there are only 17 chiropractic colleges in the country, so I decided I was going to go somewhere where the weather was a little nicer.
not dumb. Well, all right. Let me just break to the tough questions.
Okay.
There is obviously a perception that chiropractic is somewhat perhaps not as scientific or whatever. It's a kind of a stigma. Have you encountered it? I mean, because I've heard of it before, and I was just curious. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, you know, in the past, there had not been a lot of research done showing the validity of chiropractic. And over the past 10 years, there has been a very large effort going forth, actually even as we speak, to show the validity of what chiropractic does. Now, many doctors in the past knew that they adjusted their patients, and you know what? They got better. Mm-hmm. They didn't specifically need a study to show that.
Right.
But in the past 10 years or so, they have done a ton of research looking back at those types of things to show chiropractic as a valid source to help people with their problems. Just wanted to go into one in specific that the U.S. government did. Let me just grab this out of my pile. I've got right here from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. They came out with an extensive study that they had done with 34 medical doctors on this panel, and they basically came out and said for acute low back pain, adjustments to the low back are the best things that you can do.
And that's from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. That's the Donna Shalala Department.
That is correct.
Okay, so that's not just some rhetoric publication. You're touting chiropractic care. You're saying that the government did a study, and MDs, how many?
There were, I think, 34 on the panel. There were 44 total on the panel. I think 34 of them were medical doctors.
And they all agreed that it had some benefit.
Adjustments to the back. Actually, what they said was one of the best things that you could do for people who have low back pain.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of things out there. You know, something else that I thought was interesting. There was a study in the back letter, not a study specifically on the validity of chiropractic, but over 11% of the population has utilized chiropractic services. Mm-hmm. So it's not as alternative as you think, because when you have 11% of the population utilizing services of a healthcare provider, that says an awful lot of people have found validity in it.
Mm-hmm. What else does chiropractic deal with? I mean, we generally associate it with back and neck pain.
It's very beneficial for folks, like I said, who have the back pain, neck pain, and also many people who suffer with headaches. Many of those are caused by the subluxation. Mm-hmm. But there are several other things that they've been doing some really interesting research on recently that I wanted to talk with you about. Specifically, this is one that's pertinent to many women who suffer from uncomfortable menstrual cycles, and it's called dysmenorrhea. And what they did a study of women who suffered from dysmenorrhea, and they found that 88% of the women who received adjustments to their low back, their problems either went away or decreased. So interestingly enough, those same nerves that come out of your low back that control the muscles you may be having low back also control your organs. So just because you're having low back pain, you may also have other associated problems where those same nerves go out and innervate those organs.
What else? Is there anything else that chiropractic care can do for me?
Yeah,
chiropractic. I mean, I'm not a woman.
No, you're not a woman. Chiropractic, like I said, can be beneficial for neck pain, headache. They did a study on chiropractic and ulcers. Now, I don't say chiropractic is specifically a treatment for dysmenorrhea or ulcers, but if those subluxations are causing those problems, you take off the you remove those subluxations, the nervous system interference goes away. They're better. I mean, they did a study of people who had duodenal ulcers. The duodenal ulcers seem to get better and alleviate with chiropractic care. I know there's a stigma out there with some folks about chiropractic in children.
Yeah, I noticed that your office, when I visited your office, there was a mural, a painting on the wall, and it said, kids need chiropractic too.
That's correct.
Or can benefit from it too, or whatever. Tell me about that.
Well, kids can really benefit from chiropractic care, and it's very, very safe for kids. I mean, the type of adjusting techniques we use for adults are very different than the types of techniques we use for children.
So you wouldn't crack an infant's back?
No.
Come here, baby.
Well, you know, we use a very different gentle technique. You don't need to use as much force on a child because they don't have the musculature and the tone that an adult has. So it's very different adjustment.
So what can it do for a kid, though?
Well, I mean, you know, they did a study here, which, you know, I've seen this in my office, too. Kids who suffer from infantile colic. Now, those are the kids, you know, you may
have heard. That's that incessant crying.
Incessant crying, yeah. They did a study of 316 kids who suffered from infantile colic. And what they did, they evaluated their necks and found an upper cervical, which is upper neck, subluxation right at the top. The interesting thing about it is they adjusted these kids very gently. 94% of the kids' infantile colic went away.
Wow,
children stopped screaming. Well, you think about this. If a child's upper neck is really hurting, they can't communicate it to you. What are they going to do?
Right.
They're going to cry.
Bloody murder.
You bet. Another thing that I see some kids for in my office are for chronic ear infections. Kids suffer from chronic ear infections and do really well with chiropractic. There's a whole mechanism of why it works.
But the usually isn't that bacterial or some other kind of...
Yeah, it can be a bacterial or even a viral infection. Mm-hmm. But what happens is the main drainage from a child's ear mm-hmm. is through a thing called the eustachian tube. Mm-hmm. In a child, they're fairly horizontal. As you grow older, they become more vertical, just as your neck elongates. Mm-hmm. What happens is the primary system, which is the eustachian tube, doesn't work properly because of its horizontal nature. Well, the body's very intelligent and has its secondary system to drain the ear.
Okay.
And how this happens, it drains through the lymph system, and the lymph system runs directly through the neck. Mm-hmm. One of the things I find in about 90% of the kids who come to see me for ear infections, I find a subluxation in mm-hmm. their upper neck area.
Right.
You adjust it, the muscle spasm that's going on that side goes away, and the ear infection seems to go away also.
Hmm.
So interesting.
Very interesting.
One last thing that I just wanted to chat about with the studies. I mean, I have a bunch of things with me, but something that I found rather interesting was the fact that they did a study of people who were suffering with, who had AIDS. And
HIV.
HIV. Mm-hmm. And what they specifically have when people who are positive for AIDS, specifically you've heard that their immune system is not functioning properly,
right.
basically,
mm-hmm.
and they can't fight off these things.
Sure.
Not to get too technical, but specifically, the part of their immune system that's not functioning well is a thing called their CD4 count.
Mm-hmm.
They did a 6-month study on people who had HIV, and all they were doing was getting chiropractic care. Hmm. They tested them after 6 months. These people had a 48% increase in their CD4 count.
Well, what's that mean? I mean, that's not a cure for AIDS.
No, it's not a cure, but what it shows is chiropractic has a positive effect mm-hmm. on the immune system. Because the nervous system controls,
so
the immune
it could
system.
Prolong life.
Well, I'm not
with someone with an immune deficiency
because their immune system's functioning better. Now, I'm not saying like you said before, chiropractic is not a cure for AIDS, mm-hmm. but since it has a positive effect on the immune system,
so it shows what you're saying then is it shows the power of it on the immune system.
That's correct.
Hmm. Okay. Well, okay. Say I go and I get adjusted. And I begin to feel better, mm-hmm. and maybe pain goes away. Is that it? Should I just wait till I get pain again, and come back and see how should I go about, hooking up with you? Maybe making some appointments, or how would I? Should I go on even if I don't have pain, or is it preventative? Is there? I mean, I've heard that there's this preventative aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in agreement with that philosophically?
Very much so. I'll just explain real briefly. People go to chiropractors, and if you have some subluxations and some loss of curvature of these normal curves, it takes time to try and correct this. I mean, typically when you go to an orthodontist, you don't go there and expect him to tighten your teeth one time
mm-hmm.
and typically have it clear up.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, chiropractic takes a series of adjustments to try and correct the underlying problem. Like I said, your symptoms may go away quickly, but you're still working on correcting it to try and keep it from coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I love for people to do is come in under a wellness program. It's kind of like you go to the dentist to get your teeth cleaned before you have a major problem.
Mm.
It's the same thing. You go to a chiropractor to get your spine adjusted once in a while to make sure you don't have any problems. Mm-hmm. And if there's something minor going on, we can adjust it then, take care of it, and it won't be a major, long, drawn-out thing to try and correct it.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any advice for a person maybe who feels fine, has some pain once in a while, but I mean, you know, nothing a little ibuprofen can't handle. I mean, specifically, what would you say to them?
Well, what I would recommend is come to see a chiropractor. Now, if you obviously live in the Columbia or Howard County area, I'd love you to come see me. But go visit a chiropractor, get your spine evaluated, and they can let you know whether there's something going on. And if your spine looks fine, they'll let you know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How could they get in touch with you specifically if they wanted to get chiropractic care?
Well, if they're in the Columbia area, I'm in the phone book, but mm-hmm. Let me give you my address and phone number. I'm located in the village of Owen Brown at 7270 Cradle Rock Way, Suite 1, and that's Columbia, Maryland. And my phone number is 410-312-7790.
Well, thanks, Dr. Eric Lenzel, for visiting us this half hour for Half Hour to Health, speaking of contemporary issues in health. And we'd love to have you again sometime.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mark.
Okay.